Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing good today, too. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we will again talk about some possibilities for the upcoming new year of 2020 as a shift in consciousness from material to spiritual. In this show, we will be discussing what is meant by perfect vision and the difference between sense perception and spiritual truth. Listen as we explore some examples of forsaking human thinking for divine knowing. Learn about the benefits of activating divine presence in your experience. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are a talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and reveal the truth of being. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Projections for the New Year 2020. Can you tell us what that might mean to you?
Well, the projections here that we want to discuss are some of the changes that are happening here in our programming and our approach to the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga, and mostly implementing the influence that has taken over us here with Christian Science and the work that Mary Baker Eddy did, and how it not only complements what it is that we're doing and dovetails with it, but it brings what we were doing to a whole different level of performance.
And so we're talking about the possibilities for this upcoming new year as that shift in consciousness from material to spiritual. So what does that really look like and entail?
Well, it really involves giving up your old sense of who you think you are. It's very extensive. You really make a shift from identifying with what is visible and tangible, moving through what is invisible and tangible, and then abiding in this divine presence, the invisible, intangible truth of being.
So when you're talking about going from material to spiritual, are we talking about not having ourselves wrapped up into our material world? And then instead of looking for things materially to satisfy us, we should be looking to the divine aspect of ourselves instead?
Well, what we really want to do is what the Bible suggests is to ask in my name. And that's a really important clue that you can get from Scripture, because the interpretation of my name is my likeness, that we really have to assume spiritual identity. In the framework of this process of leaving what is, say, familiar, comfortable, and known to most of us, we are trying to identify with something that doesn't even report in our five-sense mind. And most of us, that's all we know, is the testimony of our senses. Once you start to assimilate this concept, once you start to employ it as a strategy, and you start to see that actually what is invisible and intangible is more reliable and more dependable than these changing conditions of our personal mentality.
Now, I know we were talking earlier today about, there's a song in that movie Cats, by, it was written by T.S. Eliot, about the three names. I believe it's one of the first songs in the play, and you had some really good insights about that particular song. I was wondering if you could share that with us.
Yeah, that's an interesting movie that we saw because the critics really crippled it. I really don't think that the people that are passing judgment upon it really grasp the idea that T.S. Eliot was trying to bring across. And the whole thing of three names, to relate to a cat and then making the cat a metaphor or a way of learning about yourself, is that we have these three different modes of thinking. We have these three different levels of consciousness that we really have to work with. There's a physical, which is visible and tangible. There's a mental, which is invisible but tangible. And then there is spiritual, which is invisible and intangible. And so in order to relate to the cat, you really have to understand that the cat abides in these different levels. And for you to communicate with the cat, you really have to assume these identities. So when the cat is, say, for example, in its personal sense, and it is living out from body awareness, that's how you can get his attention, is by petting the cat or feeding the cat or doing something that is visible and tangible. But if the cat moves into a more contemplative state, then you really have to relate to the cat on its level of consciousness, which means that you really can't try and pet the cat or feed the cat or talk to the cat or call the cat when it is in a more contemplative state. And if you want to relate to it, it is really helpful if you can identify with what the cat's doing. And so here we're learning basically how to assume spiritual identity, how to be in a contemplative, meditative state that is void of thought, and how to make your mind an avenue of awareness for this divine presence. Because that's something that most people that are around cats, they really get this sense that they are spiritual, that they are God's gift to the world. And so that's something we start to learn as we start to forsake our human thinking, getting out of a sense level of living and starting to identify with ourselves spiritually. We really start to see that we're in the image and likeness of the divine. And then once you can start to catch a glimmer of that, and then you can start to forsake your human for this divine knowing, then you start to see that it becomes a practical guide for highly effective living.
And so what you're saying is, in order for us to access these different states of consciousness, we have to almost become that?
Right. And in the framework of doing that, you start to see that you can't be material and spiritual. That's not a possibility. That's not an option. So you're either one or the other. And then, of course, there's the whole realm of mental or mind that can actually be create this enormous interference pattern that gives the appearance that I'm spiritual, but I'm still suffering with a belief in matter. And I still have a belief in two powers and a belief in duality. But for me to come out of that hypnotic trance, I really need something that I can grasp onto. And to grasp onto what is invisible and intangible becomes quite challenging for most of us. And that was where I've always worked with the Kriya Yoga that we teach, is because you move from instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival, your basic needs, into a more human intelligent perception. And the way that we do that is understanding the association between what we'll call life-sustaining force number one, which is thought, and life-sustaining force number two, breath. Working with breath and thought, you're working with what is invisible but tangible. And so you can hold your breath, put yourself in a real life-threatening situation. Then to take the next layer of that or the next step in that is to be able to empty your mind and make your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind, which means that you take no thought. You fill your mind with divine idea, which is very different because it doesn't report in the senses. Even though the divine word is the only power in this universe, we have no way of communicating with it on the human, finite, rational level.
Well, what I'd like to do now is let's talk about what we mean by perfect vision. I know we touched upon this a few weeks ago when we were talking about the year 2020 perfect vision. So let's talk about that and then the difference between sense perception and spiritual truth.
Yeah, perfect vision is really God's perfect plan, that the divine creator and divine creation is perfect. And what we mean by that term is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled. What we basically have to understand is that our sense level of perception at what we call vision isn't perfect. Again, I really like the term Mary Baker Eddy uses in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures when she talks about human conjecture, that what's reporting in our senses testifies falsely. It's not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, but it is a human thought about what's there. And so for us to start to understand that what's reporting in our senses isn't real, but it is a false testimony, then we need something else that we can grasp onto. And so to move out of, again, what is visible and tangible, move into what is invisible but tangible, doesn't really go far enough. So we have to go all the way into what is invisible and intangible. And we'll call that the truth of being. That divine presence, divine creation is perfect. That's the perfection of being, but that is the cause or the source of all creation.
So the sense perception is where we really want to be cautioned about, because we want to make sure that we're not looking, or I should say we shouldn't be living our lives through our sense perception. We need to be looking at our lives and what we do and say through spiritual eyes, not our human eyes.
Right. That's a challenge. Because to move out of your five senses and into your spiritual sense requires faith. You really have to have a certain belief in this divine presence. Then you have to learn how to test it, because it's not just denial of the testimony of your senses. You don't just pretend to be doing better than you are. Fake it till you make it kind of a thing is what I remember hearing a lot of people saying. That's really not what we want to do. We want to know the truth, that this invisible, intangible divine presence, this perfection of being, is the only reality. Abiding in that truth, then you start to make your mind an avenue of awareness for it. The term in the Bible is called repent, which means to think differently. But just how different that means is the only way that we can know the truth, is by letting truth do the knowing. And that's a very different mode of thinking than what we're accustomed to doing with our five senses.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1.
Human Development and the Eight Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I was wondering if we could talk more about spiritual truths, and what does it really mean? What are the spiritual truths?
Well, I think the major spiritual truth is, I am the Lord thy God, that there is but one God, there is one divine life, and it is everywhere and in everything. That's the allness of this one divine presence. You can't really get your five-sense mind around that. And so we're accustomed to dealing with this dualistic image about that truth, about that one divine presence. And so to be able to really have fidelity to it, to believe that there is only one, that's, I think, is a tough thing to start out with. But then if you just believe in it, then it doesn't go far enough, because what we're talking about here is our primary focus is the demonstration of divine law with scientific certainty, that it's not just something you believe in. I believe in one God isn't going to be able to demonstrate divine presence. But to know this truth, like I had said, the only way you can know the truth is by letting truth do the knowing, which means you've got to come out of the many into the understanding and the demonstration of the one. Because there can't be a me and you. There can't be a me and God. If God is all, then who am I? Who are you? And so for us to really start to understand this as a demonstrable principle, you have to come out of the many into the one. You have to get out of material sense level perception into spiritual understanding. And that's a very different mode of operation.
And so doesn't it come down to also that we have to look at our neighbors as ourselves? Oh, that's part of the saying, love your neighbor as yourself, because it's really you're looking at you, because God is in everything and everyone.
Right. And that's another spiritual truth that you work with. But if you are accepting your neighbor as a human, then you're in violation of spiritual law, because what you're looking at is divine presence revealing itself as a person. And so as you start to pierce through the appearances, the concepts, and all of the beliefs that we have, you start to abide in this truth. It can't be a person, it can't be a dog, it can't be a tree if God is all. And then there can't be a me and a you if God is all. Mm-hmm. And I think Paul tells us this in the Bible, where he says that our sufficiency to think is not of ourselves, but our sufficiency to think is of God. And so the more that we can start to identify with and assimilate this one divine presence, the omnipresence, the omnipotent, omniscient, the all-knowing, all-powerful divine presence. And the main thing that happens with this is that you lose your belief in two powers. There's not good and evil, that there is only this one divine presence, and anything else that appears to be in conflict or contradiction to those divine qualities is not real. It's not supported by this divine presence. And what makes it appear to be real is our belief in it.
I know we've talked before about that word forsake or forsaking. And the next thing I'd like to talk about is let's explore those examples of when we forsake human thinking for divine knowing. So what does the word forsake mean to you first?
Well, I think the best way that I try and demonstrate this is by not reacting to the testimony of the senses. That even though it appears to be something, say, for example, like somebody appears to be sick, somebody appears to be homeless, somebody appears to be handicapped, then for you to react to that and accept it, then you're in the trap. But for you to actually pierce through that and understand that that isn't a person, that that is divine truth revealing itself as a person. And then the more faith that you have in that, the more understanding you have in that, then you start to make a shift in how you're thinking. I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says, because we talked a little bit earlier about repent, meaning to think differently. And we talked about just how different that means. And the only way that we can know the truth is by letting truth do the knowing. Mary Baker Eddy calls this to think with God as God. Now, this instruction is very different from the changing conditions of the personal mentality of the human ability to form thoughts and opinions. For us to think with God as God, we must lift ourselves out of personal sense and look out from spiritual understanding, out of the rational into the absolute.
So when you're talking about the absolute, are we talking about us being governed by thy will and not my will? I know we've been doing a lot of talk about that lately too, but would that also be considered one of the spiritual truths?
Yeah, I think so. And again, what we're doing is we're finding that place where individual thought is the same as divine idea. It's not my will, but thy will. And to be clear on the difference, because thy will must be absolute goodness. That was something that we have talked about in other shows. A lot of us think that it is God's will that I'm sick. It's God's will that I suffer. It's God's will that my relationship didn't work out. And we try and use this stuff as some form of testing ground or punishment. But in truth, in reality, God's will is absolute goodness. Now, where our problems begin to manifest is that we're not in sync with God's will. We're thinking separately from the truth of being. And now, from our sense level of living, we're trying to get this divine presence, this divine power to do something for us. And it doesn't work like that. We have to understand is that God's creation is perfect. It's right here. It's right now. And what we need to do is attune ourselves to it. So it's really never about my will, because the minute I have a separate sense of self independent of this one divine presence, I'm in the trap. And so for me to assume spiritual identity, the first thing that starts to happen is it dissolves this personal sense of self. And then it reveals the error of personal identity. And from that revelation, of course, then it's much easier to abide in the truth under the protection of divine law, as opposed to having this separate sense of self, which is under the government of the law of karma and a belief in two powers.
Now, when you were talking earlier about thy will must be absolute good or goodness, so is it safe to say that if we make a decision to do something, it would have to be a decision that would be good for everybody involved? Like, it can't just be good for me and bad for you. It would have to be a decision that's good for everybody that would be involved in my circle, let's just say. And if it's not, then that wouldn't be thy will.
Right. And a lot of it becomes a practice that you start to work with, that you start to see. If I attune myself to divine presence, then my outward external experience should be harmonious. It should be peaceful. It should be well. And if it's not, then I need to think differently. I have to go back to the drawing board. Because that's one of the biggest mistakes I think we make, is that we think we're spiritual. We think it's God's will. And basically, most of us are just happy if we can get more of the pleasures and profits of the human experience rather than transcend this false sense of existence and assume spiritual identity and live out from the truth of being.
I know I've heard you say before, it's not words, but works. Can you maybe shed some light on that phrase that you've said before?
Yeah, because you really have to be able to demonstrate this, that how to be in that place where divine mind expresses its will through you, and finding that place where individual thought is the same as divine idea. And so from that level of understanding, you're now exercising dominion. And basically, human dominion is just attunement to God's perfect law.
So what would you say would be benefits to us when we start activating this divine presence in our experience?
You will be ever successful, always satisfied, and you will be living by grace, that this divine presence will make the crooked places straight. It will go before you. And as Jesus said, it is the Father within that does the work. And so you're no longer striving and struggling and trying and doing things humanly. What you're basically doing is letting this divine mind, this indestructible principle, express itself through you.
And to use your words, you always say, put God first. There's three
right.
words.
Right.
Well, I think this is a good place to start our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And again, three-quarters way down on the homepage, you'll see a section entitled Swami Says Recent Posts, and you'll see those shows listed there. You can click on to further your spiritual development. And don't forget, clicking on the online classes tab will get you to Swami's free webinars he does on Wednesdays at noon. So with that, Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
I would like to invite everybody to join us here as we start to focus on demonstrating the divine law with scientific certainty. And with that, namaste.
And thank you again for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.